This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This week, the Clarets are away at West Brom, looking to secure their first points of this season. And we also wait with bated breath to see what the extended transfer window brought for the Clarets. This is the Known and Never podcast. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Known and Never podcast. And this week we have something a little bit different for you. Whenever we're recording the podcast, we obviously get everybody on the call and we often sit and talk about what we're going to discuss and we see how everybody's doing, what everybody's been up to. And it very quickly descends into quite an animated chat about, oh my God, did you see that miss that that Tarky did? Did you see that save that Pope pulled out? And we get some of our best material from just sitting around the whole team and chatting about everything that's going on. So we wondered how that would translate to an actual podcast. Left that with us, we therefore asked Robert and George to sit down, grab a cup of tea and just have a chat. This is the result.
Hi George, you all right?
All right, Robbie, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, loud and clear, actually. Loud and clear.
Oh, perfect. Well, before we get cracking, I've got to say, I've got some housemates who've just come back from bottomless brunch. So if there's girls screaming outside my door, don't get the wrong idea.
I've got that plan on Friday. Cannot wait.
£27 it cost?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd have to take
more expensive. More expensive than Premier League pay-per-view, that.
God, how slick are we? We started off and we're 37 seconds in and we've already got a transition into the next segment. I mean, Natalie, I know that, if you're listening, we're coming for your job.
Yeah, bin her off. Bin her off. Don't need her anymore.
Who is Miss Bromley? We don't need Natalie anymore. It's a coup. The political
coup. We might as well start properly on the pay-per-view football, because I think both of us are pretty angry about it. I know. Well, I mean, I'm literally just assuming I'm not happy with it. It's weird because, like, I mean, my argument I sort of don't have a stand on, because I don't pay for Sky and I don't pay for BT. I literally live off my dad's Sky account and BT account.
But
I live on my own.
I was going to say as though I was paying for it.
I live on my own. If I had to pay for a Sky subscription, a BT subscription, obviously there's Premier League on Amazon, and now there's this expectation for us to pay £15 for pay-per-view football. I literally could not afford to do it, and I still, even though I don't pay for Sky and BT, I still cannot afford to pay out £15 because I live on my own. I think if you sort of, like, if there's like four of you in a household, you could sort of all chip in and it's sort of like worth it, but obviously with COVID restrictions and stuff like that, you're not even allowed to invite your mates around to even do that, so it's stupid.
Yeah, it's a good point there as well. Like, if I was, imagine me, I have a trouble enough getting my housemates to allow me to put the Burnley game on. Never mind asking these non-partisan football fans to pay £15 for West Brom versus Burnley on a Monday night.
Yeah,
ridiculous. I mean, and at the same time, you've got the most loyal football fans, you know, who live in the area, are paying for season tickets at the same time. And it's all well and good saying, oh, well, you know, clubs have offered refunds, but there's no point in me getting a refund because I'm just effectively paying for next season's season ticket now. So I've just continued my payments.
So, yeah, I don't know what my season ticket situation is, because I usually get my dad sorted out, but he never sorted it out. So I sort of don't know what our situation is. Like, have we lost our seats completely? Do I lose all my loyalty points?
Effectively.
I actually haven't got a... Yeah. I haven't got a Scooby-Doo what's going to be going on.
I've got to stand up for the club here because I thought it was done fairly well. I mean, they've obviously, if you haven't found out, like, effectively, I think you can either continue paying, which I'm doing, and what it is I'm paying for next season's ticket, basically. And then if eventually at some point fans come back into grounds, then there's going to be a ballot system to try and get you to a game or two.
Yeah.
But it's on top of that. So I'm paying for my season ticket, which I'm not getting. I'm not sitting in the ground, and yet I'm expected to pay £15 for the game. And to be honest, I thought it was made worse for Burnley fans. I didn't like what Neil Hart, I don't know if you've seen the interview from last week, but he was he says fans can not pay if they want to, but I'm a loyal Burnley fan, and for myself, I'd be paying for it. It just didn't strike the right for me.
Yeah, it was like it's like he tried to like manipulate us into feeling guilty for not wanting to pay. It was weird. Yeah, I totally agree. I think Neil Hart gets a lot. I think he got a lot of unfair stick because he did sit in. I recommend that you do. Everyone who listens to this does actually watch that interview because it is actually quite insightful.
Yeah, I thought on the call it was.
He does say some things which are actually. He says a lot of the right things, but when it comes to that sort of stuff, and obviously he mentioned the transfer market, that didn't land well with me either. There were a couple of things where I'm just sort of like, oh, why have you said that? What are you doing?
And you're just digging a hole for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not helping your reputation.
It was like
especially for someone who was, like, he worked with Burnley in the community and stuff like that and did some really good stuff. And I expected him to come out with a bit more dignity than he, like, I've sort of, not happy with the way he handled that situation now.
Yeah, he could have shown a lot more sympathy. And he did dig a hole for himself on the transfer stuff as well. With I remember a few months ago when he first got the promotion to that role, he said, you know, Corona's affected us, but watch this space in the summer transfer window. He didn't need to say that.
Yeah.
And look how that's backfired. Mm-hmm. So now he's said again, I expect January and next summer to be busy. But, mate, you know, keep digging.
Yeah, I'd just like to think that when he said those things back then, an awful lot has changed with, obviously, Mike Garlick's looking to sell the club. We've got the pending takeover.
Yeah.
Probably none of this was that apparent like back then when he said it. So, it has come back to bite him on the arse.
The China deal's fallen through or whatever it was.
TV
deal, which has affected them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the £15 for me, it just seems like it's a figure plucked out of thin air. There's been no substantive evidence of saying, look, this is why it's £15. These are the reasons. It's just a moneymaker for them.
Well, this is, I mean, I think there's, I'm pretty sure, and I hope someone corrects me if I'm wrong, Now TV, isn't that like 15 quid for like a month?
And you get games on there. Yeah.
And you get like, I don't think it's a month, it might be like 30 quid for the month. But still, my point is valid. Like, you get like, what, how many games a month? You're probably going to get, what, three televised games every weekend, plus all the games in between, like the EFL during midweek. It's 30 quid for the month.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And now you're expected to pay 15 quid for West Brom versus Burnley, who probably registered like 10 shots between them in the entire game. So you're not even getting like your money's worth in terms of goal attempts.
No.
It's just stupid.
Do you think more than 10 non-Burnley or West Brom fans paid for that game? Because I don't think there's a chance. No. There's no chance.
Is there any like, I'm sure this will like come up on Twitter or something like that.
I saw
a bit. But I hope there's like a stat.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that you're going to provide me with a stat for how many people actually like bought this, the £15. Don't tell Natalie, but I streamed it illegally.
Yeah, we need to make sure this is not linked to Natalie Bromley in the slightest. We've never heard of women, but the sites we use, they aren't £15, let's just say.
Yeah.
It's just, on Twitter, it was really good how there was a backlash to it. I know Claret's Trust, they've been involved with getting the word out to the hashtag boycott pay-per-view and, you know, paying mm-hmm. food banks instead of just contributing there. Because not only does it do a good deed, but it also just, it's sort of like a middle finger to the Premier League and the broadcasters in saying, well, we're not going to pay for your stupid £15. We're going to invest it in areas where people are actually hurting in the community. They don't have
I think
to spend on every single game.
Yeah, I think it was Newcastle United and something similar. I think they raised $20,000.
Yeah, they've raised
$20,000.
Yeah, 20,000 I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so that's impressive. I don't know what the Burnley figure was, but I hope it was something close to that.
I'm sure I definitely read it was in the thousands. I understand it has to be charged realistically. Well, it doesn't. I mean, they showed all of Project Restart, so. But
yeah, I think
they lost money on that quite a lot.
But the best comparison I can make is, the Carabao Cup ties against Millwall and City? Yeah. Did you stream them off the Carabao Cup website?
I didn't, because it was £10 and it was Burnley in Cup football, so I didn't have any intentions on watching.
Okay, well, I paid £10 for both ties.
Yes.
Because I thought £10 is... is expensive, but I could justify it. I just feel like £15 is just taking a mick.
Yeah, well, £15 effectively is, it's half the price of, say, well, probably actually for Burnley, it's more than half the price of going to paying for an actual game. And you're not getting half the experience. It's all meeting with people before the game, you know, the people you see at away games, all that. It's not, you're not getting half of that value at all by just watching a game through the telly. That's why £10, it's a bit more acceptable.
Yeah, I think someone tweeted me about this the other day. I was kicking off about pay-per-view football, and I'm not going to say his name, but the reply to the tweet was, "Robbie, roll back 12 months. How would you have watched a match away at West Brom? You couldn't unless you got a ticket and travelled away, which would have cost £60-ish. So are you any worse off?" That's just completely missing the point entirely.
Yeah.
Like all the games were free to watch for 6 months before all this.
It's like a different world, isn't it? Once you've been treated to that, and the Premier League fair play to them at that point, Project Restart was brilliant. They understood it's horrible without fans, but we're going to put on this platform. And yeah, it wasn't perfect because they couldn't preview every game or what have you, but at least you had coverage of it. So it's okay going to a paid format now, but to have such a swing in the opposite direction to £15, I mean, I'm not surprised there's been such a backlash for me.
Is that just, was the price set by the broadcasters? Because it's pretty much the same price for if you're buying a boxing pay-per-view or a WWE pay-per-view. That's like £15 as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was set by the broadcasters. That's what I've read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so they might just have a set price and stuff.
Yeah, but you'd have thought with
the
Premier League, they'd have been able to negotiate that if they had the willpower.
Yeah, because I think like things like WWE and stuff, you've got like four or five hours of coverage if it's like something like WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that's like four times in a year, sort of. It's meant to be a special.
Yeah, exactly.
There's games every weekend.
Yeah, it's like if you pay £15 for a boxing match, that fight could be over within 5 seconds if it only lasts one punch.
Yeah.
And he's sort of like, oh, we've got 90 minutes of watching Burnley and West Brom hoop it up in the air. And
yeah, that one punch was probably more exciting than the first goalless draw of the Premier League season.
Oh, typical Burnley to be involved in that, wasn't it?
My housemate,
I knew.
Chelsea fan, he was like, typical Burnley, obviously, had to have the first goal.
Yeah.
It was just written in the stars.
Yeah, and the fact is against West Brom as well. We couldn't just do it against like Spurs next week. Like, if we drew like 0-0 with Spurs, we'd be bloody buzzing.
But that points out, we've just streamlined into the game absolutely perfectly.
I think
it's been the new show, this. It's the No Name Ever Poole and Kopac show.
It's his dream team, isn't it?
This is probably the first podcast we've done together. Or did we do one last week?
No, we did one last week. But this is... we chatted quite a lot on Twitter. We chatted quite a lot in the WhatsApp group.
Not to Matt. 12.
But I don't think we really properly spoke together. Obviously, this is going very well. Natalie's going to love this once Matt's put this all back together. I hope he doesn't edit this out. But I think on the game... on the West Brom game, the full time whistle went, and I was like, you know what? I thought it was a a fair and decent result against a team who are probably going to be relegation rivals with us. We've had a bit of a rough start to the season. It's our first point. Before the game, I thought it was important that we got something. I thought we need that first point on the board. We got that. We got a clean sheet. We looked a little bit more like ourselves. We weren't brilliant, but we weren't bad either. I thought 0-0 was pretty fair, and I was sort of pleased with that in the end. But I think when we chatted about it in a WhatsApp group, you were a bit, you had a different view. It's usually the other way around. Yeah. But I were quite positive.
I've got a Jekyll and Hyde on this situation. On the one hand, a draw away at West Brom, it just say it's midway through the season. It's not a bad result, to be fair, that getting a point away at a relegation rival. You know, you move on, you take the 3 points in a home game next week or what have you. But it's just putting into context how bad a start we've had. Then we've got, is it Tottenham and Chelsea next? And I'm just dreading in my head. I'm thinking we're going to be, what, 5 games into the season and we're going to have 1 point, and it's already going to be chasing up to other teams, and teams which are looking a lot more improved on what they were in Project Restart. I'm just dreading it already. I just don't have the relegation battle anymore. We've got used to not being in it.
Yeah. I mean, let's just roll back, 6-7 months? In fact, it's longer than that. 10 minutes, what, 9 months? God, this year's going fast. Go back to January, and we lost 3-0 at Stamford Bridge. And I think it was like, we're at like our third or fourth successive defeat. We hadn't won for a while. I can't remember the stats exactly. And then our next games were Leicester at home, United away, and it was like Leicester were flying.
Yeah, I remember.
United were on a good run, I think, at the time. It's sort of like, oh, here we go. It's another two defeats. We're proper looking over our shoulders. And then we managed to get 6 points, went to Old Trafford, kept a clean sheet, and we went on an unbelievable run since then. So I'm not panicking. I think Spurs are going to be a tough game. But I'd never expect us to get a result against anyone in particular. As long as we show that Burnley way. Like, I don't, obviously, we were poor at Newcastle. We didn't really look ourselves against Southampton. But against West Brom, I thought we looked more like the Burnley Sean Dyche side, which we're all used to in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
So as long as we do the Dyche basics against Spurs, I'm quite confident we can get something.
Well, this is the thing. The thing I've noticed over the past, ever since we had that, obviously, 23 unbeaten run, we're a real team of peaks and troughs. We won't say a win for 8 games, but then we'll go on a, like last season, we went on a 8-game unbeaten run. The season before, we did the same. You know, we just go on runs. So it might not look so good at the moment, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we did put a run of form together. And it was good last night with, I know, Natalie, we've been talking about this in the group chat, haven't we, that this season, the thing that's going to kill us is everyone scoring ridiculously amounts of goals. But the first 0-0 of the season, it proves it's possible. We're in there. It's not all going to be 4-3 every weekend, ideally.
Yeah, and obviously we got Chelsea coming up, and Chelsea concede goals for fun. Like, West Brom even scored 3 against Chelsea. And they didn't even have, like, a recognised strike, really. I think a defender scored 2.
Yeah,
I think so. It's sort of like,
yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, so it's sort of like Chris would have scored 5 against them then.
Honestly, Chelsea are a topsy turvy team, aren't they? I said to my housemate, he was moaning about West Brom Burnley being 0-0 at half time the other day. Well, he's a Chelsea fan, but I said to him, well, at least we're not 3-0 down at half time. Like,
yeah, Chelsea are a bit weird. I think I've not watched a lot of Chelsea games, to be honest, but whenever I seem to keep an eye on Chelsea, they seem to lose all the time, yet
they
somehow got into the Champions League. Yeah, it's really weird.
I'll tell you what, though, in the second half against West Brom, we could have won that game as well. It's not just that we played more like we expect us to, but Chris Wood first had an absolute sitter with a header. I mean, he probably did really well to get into that position and what have you, and used a lot of skill to position himself, but he should have absolutely buried that header.
Yeah.
Exact same with the Barnes one as well. Barnes missed. I mean, to be fair, he at least got a good head on it, and it was a good save by the keeper, and then it came out to Wood again, who hit the crossbar for a second time.
he was offside, wasn't he? Woods, yeah, he was, to be fair.
Offside, but then Woods was offside, wasn't he?
Yeah. I saw a couple of like people criticise Chris Wood like after the game for, obviously, the first one, it's sort of like, he'll be disappointed. I think if it's looping into the corner, it goes in. It's the fact that it's not in, going towards the corner that it just hits the crossbar. It just needed to travel that extra yard or so for it to dip under.
Yeah.
And then the second one, where the goalkeeper, Sam Johnson, denies Ashley Barnes, it just hits Chris Wood. Like, he doesn't even expect it. Yeah. And he's offside. And typically, Wood is offside anyway. And it's sort of like, after the game, I was going through, like, a couple of Burnley forums. There's, like, the player ratings thing. And, like, Chris Wood, we're getting, like, 4/5 because he didn't hit the target. And it's like, oh, come on. Like,
impressed with him the whole game. Except from the two headers, I thought he was really good. Hold up play and everything. You know, because with Barnes and Wood at the top, we're always playing more of a direct style of play. But, you know, he held up the ball well. He ran onto balls that came in behind the defence. I thought he played really well. It's just that he did miss that one sitter. But that shouldn't mean everyone just gets on his back. And it's ridiculous, the stick he gets sometimes. I mean, I'm just looking on his record for Burnley now. 35 goals in 97 games. You know, it's just better than 1 in 3.
Wow.
One in three games.
Yeah, Chris Wood, I'm one of his biggest fans. Like, I really rate him, just what you were saying then. But that record is actually unbelievable.
You can't ask for that, can't you? For a team that's probably going to be in bottom half of the Premier League every season, you're not asking for.
And we probably scored the least amount of goals.
Yeah.
Well, probably not the least amount, but probably like down there.
Oh.
Like, yeah, I just got to show. It probably a little bit over reliant on him, which probably a bit of criticism does come Chris Wood's way, because it's sort of like, he's our main goal threat.
If he misses,
he's our record transfer, and it's sort of like that expectation. Oh, you've got to score.
Yeah, and
if you don't score, you're crap.
Last night, if he missed them chances, and therefore we don't win, so it just leads to him open to criticism. But the thing is, He's good enough for us, but he's 28 now. He's not going to get a move above us. He can stay, hopefully. I mean, it's all if buts and maybes. But if he stayed for the club for another, 3 or 4 years, he could strike quite a legacy playing for us, and his goal record and what have you. He's already heading to be our top Premier League scorer. I think he might already be, actually. Maybe him.
It wouldn't surprise, but who was it? Is it Ashley Barnes?
I think it might be Vogt. It might be Barnes, actually. Yeah, I think it's Barnes.
I think it is Ashley Barnes. Did Barnes get it last year?
Barnes has been with us, for most years. And for the first two Wood seasons, it was always between him and Barnes over who was top four. It was just last season that Barnes, was injured half the year. But, he's going to be heading towards there. And I think he was the first Burnley striker to score 10-plus goals in 3 consecutive Premier League years. You're not going to
find it's impressive, isn't it?
A season striker for us. So that's what you're going to get.
So obviously, we talked about people criticising like Chris Wood for missing chances. Can we just say our very own Richard Steele were even slagging him off in the WhatsApp group during the game?
Wow!
I saw those notifications flash up on my phone, and I don't think I've ever tutted and shook my head in disgrace so much.
Well, I'll tell you what, Robbie. The political coup is underway here, and seeing as Natalie's out the door, why not Richard?
Let's get rid of Richard as well.
We'll keep Matt.
This is
Matt for the production elements, realistically. Or else we're a duck, with no water without Matt.
Yeah, should we? Have you got access to the Northern Ever Twitter account?
I wish I did.
Because I haven't either. Because if we did, we could create a poll, and it's sort of like we could create this. Hi, listeners, should we just keep it as a Copac and pool party and get rid of Natalie, Richard, and
we've declared
Liam and everyone else?
Yeah, we'll keep Liam because he's involved with Claridge Trust. He can give us
good, of course. That.
But Natalie.
Yeah, we can keep Matt as well.
They're the old guard.
Exactly.
We'll keep Tom.
Yeah, it's like our very own little transfer window, isn't it? It's getting rid of the Deadwood.
Yeah, we just need to get rid of the Deadwood so we can, make new signings, get Dave on the main show a bit more.
Yeah, what we could do, we could sign new deals and then Neil Hart can come out and go, yeah, we had a really good transfer window because we retained our key players.
Yeah, we won't sign anyone. Maybe we'll give ourselves a bit of a wage boost, and then we'll say, oh, what a window.
Yeah, we've weakened the squad, but the core of the squad is stronger.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bromley's the Hendrick of the show, isn't she? We'll just say, look, really wanted to keep her, but she was just asking for too long a deal. It just wasn't viable for the club, so we decided to separate ways.
Yeah, and she can go and do the Newcastle podcast.
Are we looking for American investors as well? I could do with a new microphone.
Yeah, same, actually. I mean, I don't know if you heard in the last five, ten minutes, but my flatmate was classing around. He saw me chatting, yet continued to make an absolute racket. So
I heard. I need to keep talking.
If you saw my face when I'm glaring at him going, mate, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, please.
I would have swore there, but Natalie shouts at me, so.
Yeah, luckily we've got locks on our doors, so there's no one coming in here. You can chat away all night.
I think next time it's the cop I can pull one. We could go to a bottomless brunch and record there.
No, we record halfway into the bottomless brunch. Now that's
That's a better idea.
Yeah.
That is a better idea.
And it's all going to be expenses paid by the new American owners. Because I'm not paying £27.
Smashed it. Absolutely smashed it.
Right.
Maybe these American investors can pay for the £15 pay-per-view football.
I tell you what, it's gone quiet on that American investors front, hasn't it? I mean,
I think that's bound to happen. I think Neil Hart pretty much confirmed that things are happening.
Yeah, it sounded promising. The way he just said, you know, I can't really say anything, but it's we know the club's for a while been looking for investment, etc., etc.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, you've said a few things that Garlick's been trying to sell the club for a while, and obviously we talked about it in the pod in the last few weeks and stuff, and I mean, it's really weird because, like, I love the fact that we're fan-owned. I love what Mike Garlick's done. I don't really buy into the fact that, like, you see these Twitter football FIFA accounts on Twitter, and they're going, they got hashtag Garlick out on the Twitter handles. It's like, you really do not understand. Like, Mike Garlick's done an unbelievable job. And I've said it before, like, it's almost a compliment to our success that he's sort of reached his financial limits.
Yeah, he's down to success, because we've just got to a point now where the club wants to do a bit more than just stay up every year. Or, you know, just stay up every year with him.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, it's really difficult because it's sort of like a big change is very exciting. And if it works, then buzzing. But you look at clubs like Hull, Blackburn.
League One now, aren't they? Hull? League One?
Yeah, even like clubs like Swansea. I think they've got American owners in and they got relegated.
Yeah.
And they brought players in like Sanchez from Bayern Munich, and that were a bit of a flop, and they spent an awful lot of money. It didn't work.
Wow. Yeah. What a flop.
It's sort of like, I do agree that I think Garlick has to go and we do need some investment. But I'm not going to, it's very much a be careful for what you wish for. I'm really cautious. I'm really, like, pragmatic about it. This could go all up after old Sean Dyche's hard work in last eight years or so could go right down the pan.
Yeah. I tell you what, just touching on Dyche, I managed to listen to the show that Natalie did last week with Jordan North, which was, have you listened to it? Brilliant. When he was, like, saying, about how he'd been down to the training ground, and, you know, it just felt like Dyche has touched everything there. Well, I'd say the same. Mm. Me and my dad managed to win like a Daffabet thing the other year to have it was just after the season we'd finished seventh. So just before the European draw, we went down to the training ground, and everything there, it was legs, hearts, minds, Dyche motto here, Dyche motto there. And the guy who was doing a little tour for us said, during the design process, it was just like always referring back to Dyche to get the sign off for it.
Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't happen at most.
Yeah, if he's proper, like, he's obviously going to leave his legacy behind when Dyche eventually does leave. I think even when it's been talked about many times that that first Premier League season when we first went up and immediately went back down, like, we spent money on players like Lucas Jukovic and Marvin Sordell, and, you know, we had some
god-awful... Stephen Reid playing CDM.
Stephen Reid.
Yeah, sitting...
You know what, did you... He played in the game at West Brom.
West Brom.
Absolutely battered 4-0, didn't we?
Robbie, I've got
I went to that game on a Monday night.
That's the only game I've ever left early. Sporting Burnley, that's the one game I've left early. And it was 4-0 down, I think it was. It was the 85th minute. Yes. And I just talked enough. Because
Craig Dawson, Craig Dawson too.
Yeah, we were playing 4-5-1. Duke was up front on his own and didn't get a single touch all game. We had Chalobah, who was useless that night. After I left that ground, I'd never ever go back to West Brom, and I'm glad I did, because I went when we won 3-0 and Barnes scored that overhead kick, because that vanished the goal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I promised myself.
Let me tell you my experience. I can beat that. So obviously I went to that one we just chatted about where we got beat 4-0 and Stephen Reid played and Nathaniel Chalabai come on at half time and he nearly got sent off after 5 seconds. I thought, you know what? The year after, when we played West Brom away again, I was like, I'm going to go, because it won't be as bad as last year.
I know exactly.
It was the exact carbon copy. We were 3-0 down after half an hour and we lost the game 4-0. And I think Craig Dawson scored another two. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I remember watching it on the TV and I was thinking, thank goodness.
And it was a Monday night and I left uni early.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? I wish I went to that seminar now. I really wish I went to that PR seminar.
Yeah.
And instead, I decided to watch us get beat 4-0 on a Monday night at West Brom again.
Yeah, honestly, ever since, whenever we go back to West Brom, it just gives me the chills. I just think, not such a bad performance again.
Yeah, so it's sort of like I put when we played them on Monday, I put a bet on for us to lose 4-0 because I was like, go on, happen. Just because I'm watching it. Go on.
This is always Tom. This is always what Tom does. I'm calling Tom out here. He always puts on like on the Twitter, well, we might be losing to Spurs or whatever, but I've got a tenner on City to win.
Yeah.
He's always got a tenner on
the team. Yeah, I'm like every single weekend I pretty much I'd very rarely put Burnley games on. But in terms of like, if you play like Sky Super 6 and stuff like that, I always put us on to lose. So it's sort of like a win-win situation for me.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was, it was when we went to the West Brom game where Barnes scored that overhead kick, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was bittersweet for my mate because we were in that away stand and he had an eye on the game and then an eye on his phone because he had a 15... a bet on 15 games and a 15-game accumulator, all Scottish games, and 14 of 15 came in. And it was the last minute, and the team to have the 15th team to win, they had a penalty in the 90th minute. They missed the penalty, and the team went up the other end and scored, and it let him down for, it was tens of thousands.
Yeah.
We've not let him live that down ever since. So Will Lancaster, who was on the show the other week. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was him. So if we speak to him on the show again, you've got to bring up that Scottish 15-game accumulator at West Brom away.
Maybe we can bring him in because obviously we've got room for recruits now because we're getting rid of Natalie and Richard. So
good point. Jobs for
maybe he can come in full time. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm a politician.
Yeah, just, if you drop off, just send us your CV. Into my Twitter handle at Robbie Kopak. Yeah, there's a nice little plug in there.
Oh, yeah, at George.
Yeah, how are you?
Me, yeah.
It's nice and easy, isn't it? It's nice and easy, this recruitment stuff.
I don't know why they have these recruitment agencies. Don't they all have podcasts they can just link with?
I don't know what the Burnley board whinge about saying that it's hard to recruit during January. I've just done it in October.
What a link.
Easy.
Robbie, we've just stumbled onto another streamline link because Dale Stevens signed for the club after listening to the High Performance podcast with Daesh. Had you seen that in this week in the news?
No, I missed this. I have listened to that podcast. I listened to it quite a bit ago, actually. It's with the... the BT guy. What's the BT presenter called? Jake Humphries.
Yeah, it was brilliant, that one with Daesh. But Dale Stevens, I think it was in the Telegraph this week, he said, it was at the beginning of the transfer window, and there'd been no contact or anything, and he just listened to it. Obviously, Dash was brilliant on there. He came across so well. And he said, when my agent came to me and said, Burnley, you're interested, he didn't even need to be asked twice. You know, so the moral of the story is podcast recruitment. It's booming. This is 2020. This is the new thing.
We smashed it. Like, let's just give a little bit of insight on how we record podcasts. So usually Natalie gives us like a bit of a briefing about what we're going to talk about. Natalie messaged us all yesterday saying she was going to struggle to find time off work to record. So this idea was briefed that me and Jordan were sort of like chatting on the phone. So we just started recording. There's no briefing. We got no notes in front of us or anything. We're literally just...
We're in no man's land here. Yeah.
I'm gonna swear. I'm sorry, Matt, but we're shouting it.
Matt, note to Matt, 34 minutes in, Robbie swears yet again. It's
there we go.
It's all gone to
pot. I was trying to think of another word.
There is no word like
because obviously when Burnley are proper S-Alsery, you know, it has to be done.
And it could have been on Monday night if Wood had just tucked away that header. The good thing about Monday night, I've linked us back again. We're getting the swing of this, aren't we? Well, the good thing about Monday night was that the defence looked much, much better. And I thought, obviously, Pope had a stinker at Newcastle. Looked brilliant again. Yeah. And Tarkowski, brilliant.
I think that's signs of a really good goalkeeper, that is, after like a really poor performance, that he stepped up and just completely like got it out of his system, especially on the back of a poor run as well. Obviously, we weren't great against Southampton, which we mentioned. The team performance against Newcastle wasn't great, and then Pope had a stinker. Like, I can't really think of many Nick Pope stinkers. Obviously, Newcastle. Yeah. I think back to maybe Man City in the FA Cup a couple of years ago. I think we got beat like
odds. Yeah,
yeah. I think that was what I think he'd only been. Was that the same season Heaton did his shoulder? I can't think it was like the same year.
I think it might have been, you know, yeah, it was in January. It was around this time, so he'd only been in a month or so.
Yeah, so it was sort of pretty sort of naive, lack of experience kind of performance that.
Yeah.
As obviously he's been number one for quite a while now, and that is really his only poor game for us in, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really complain.
No,
and
super.
Yeah, Yeah, and he was back to the Nick Pope we all know and love on Monday. I thought he was excellent. It's literally like every single cross that comes into our box.
Oh, he's got it.
Nick Pope just comes out. Like, he's literally the confidence that he just... Like, even if we had to defend crosses into the box and corners in the 90th minute, I'm just so confident that Nick Pope's just going to catch it.
Yeah, it's like leaving biscuits in my kitchen. I'm on it like a carb on it. You know, I'm straight up there.
Yeah.
If a cross comes into the box and it's a bit loopy, Nick Pope gobbles it up. There's so much confidence in him. And, you know, this might be linked a bit to like the Joe Hart situation, where I thought he played pretty well for us, but it just obviously didn't connect with the defence. But with Pope, there's absolutely no worries about it. And it was good to see him do the exact same for England. He didn't have much to do over the international break, but when crosses came in and corners, Pope was on it.
Yeah, he never looks nervous, does he? He never looks...
No, he doesn't look nervous.
He never looks under real pressure.
I'm just always nervous that he'll mess up for England and everyone will get on our back.
Yeah,
but himself, he's nervous.
Yeah, he's a top, top goalkeeper. You know, the thing with Nick Pope as well, he's a lot older than I thought he was. Like, in my head, he's still relatively young. I think like he's 22, 23, but actually he's like 28.
Yeah, because this is a glowing recommendation of Billy Mercer and the job he does as goalkeeping coach, because he didn't join us as a young pup. He joined us at the age of like 24 from Charlton.
Yeah.
And obviously his game developed so much since then. And now he should be starting for England, as displayed yet again by Jordan Pickford's howlers at the weekend.
I'm bored of going over Jordan Pickford. I've talked about him so many times.
Honestly,
it's
a calamity. That tackle on Van Dijk, I don't care about Liverpool fans being like,
mate,
Van Dijk's passed away, we're going to stay around him. Like, but it was just it was because he was so late on the ball. You know, it just useless at times.
Yeah. I think, obviously, we talked about the... There's a bit of a debate now between who should be England number one, between Henderson and Pope. Henderson's now second choice at Old Trafford, so it's sort of like...
He doesn't play.
To me, like, there's no arguments now.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, if Jordan Pickford has a... If he has another stinker at the weekend, I think it's Nick Pope's shirt to lose. But Gareth Southgate seems to have this obsession of... I appreciate like player loyalty and stuff. I think we've criticised Dyche for having
a lot of loyalty
towards some players.
He was great in the World Cup, but that was 2 years ago now, and he's been awful for his club for the past year. And it's all up to Ancelotti, I think. If Ancelotti plays this new lad they've got on loan from Roma, I think that'd be the beginning of the end. But until that happens, I think Southgate will stick with him.
It's sort of like, I think, Jack Butland signed for Crystal Palace for like $500,000.
What a fall from grace. My word.
It's sort of like he was linked with moves to Liverpool for like £25 million, like literally like 3 years ago. And it feels like Jordan Pickford is going down that route.
Yeah. But I mean, Butland was the anointed one after Joe Hart finished with it.
Yeah.
He was going to be the next man in line. I mean, seems a long time ago now, doesn't it?
If you go back to that era of goalkeepers, so we had Joe Hart was number one. Where's he now? He's what, second choice, third choice at Spurs.
Yeah.
Jack Butland was England's number two, and he's been in the Championship for the last few years. He's second choice at Palace. And then third choice, probably like Fraser Forrester.
Yeah, he had a similar fall from
grace. And it's sort of like, yeah, I think he was at Celtic last season on loan, where he started. I think that's where he started his career. He was there for a while anyway.
He's gone back to Southampton as backup again.
Yeah.
I mean, the funny
thing, I think the
consistent keeper throughout all these years is Ben Foster, who never played.
Yeah, have you been, actually, on Ben Foster, he's actually released a really good YouTube channel, actually.
Have you watched it?
I don't think you've seen it.
I'd planned on watching it just because of the link with the cycling. It was quite...
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's really good. He's put like GoPros in, like, during games and stuff, like, behind his net. So you've got, like, a proper, like... It's proper sick. I recommend it to everyone. It's really, really good. It's proper, like, behind the scenes at Watford training ground, and in terms of, like, coach journeys to Reading and stuff like that. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I'll check it out. It's stuff like that, you know, they can just make the game so much better to watch, more interactive. I saw on Twitter the other day, it was from the A-League in Australia, and they had all last season, mm-hmm. the refs mic'd up. And it was...
Oh, yeah, I saw you tweet. You tweeted this. I saw this.
Did you get to see the video? Brilliant.
I didn't see it. I just saw your tweet, and I was meaning to watch it, and I haven't got round to it.
Honestly, you should check it out. I watch a lot of rugby, and it's so good, actually, being able to watch, you know, just hear why he's made such a decision. You know, you even hear in this A-League one, the ref's talking to, like, his assistants, and he's going... He's like saying, oh, bloody hell, their captain won't be happy with that one. He's already been on my back. I better run away. Like, it's just stuff like that, which it just humanises refs, because they get so much stick. And it could just improve the game. And the argument against it was always like, oh, players swear. But they've had to tone that down with the, like, no crowds in the stadium anyway. So it's the perfect time to introduce it for me.
Yeah, it's almost like Sean Dyche swearing at Raheem Sterling six times in 10 seconds or whatever it was.
That was brilliant.
I love that clip so much. I've watched this so many times.
it just sums up how probably most managers think about him. It's City get away with so much stuff. Like, the thing I think is, whenever City were in the dominant prime with Pep, They'd have the ball for, say, 80% of the game, but for the 20% you'd have it, they'd tactical foul you, so you couldn't get any momentum. But obviously, no one makes note of that. You just talk about the beautiful style of City.
Wolves are exactly the same as well. They're proper cynical.
Yes.
So, like, Wolves will, they try and stay in a game until, like, the last 10 minutes and just get Adama Traore on the ball.
Yeah, and then just send him down the wing on a mad run.
Yeah, exactly. It's proper FIFA stuff. It's great.
I tell you what, just before we come to a conclusion today, I think we should talk about this European bloody Super League.
I've not really read much about it, so I'm going to let you sort of explain to me.
Yeah, so
because I saw the headline, I was like, I'm not going to read it because I'm just going to get angry.
Yeah, so effectively, again, same as the whatever that new project they termed last week, Liverpool and City, which was denied.
Yeah.
Liverpool and United, sorry, they've come out. They're planning a European Super League, which could supersede the Champions League, effectively. And what it would be like a 15-team competition with no promotional relegation. It's all exclusive because these teams somehow deserve to be there, even though United are like a top 10 team now. But, you know, that's by the by. So a 15-team Super League, they wouldn't leave the Premier League. They'd play this alongside the domestic competitions because the teams like Barca and Juve, they like their domestic competitions as they are. So they'll play this European Super League, which will then supersede the Champions League. And it's, you know, it was something like JP Morgan are willing to invest $5 billion to get it started. Meanwhile, all these clubs, you know, in the lower leagues are struggling, and the beauty of the Champions League is that anyone can get into it if Burnley obviously got into the Europa League. But so UEFA have come out today and completely condemned it, said it's ridiculous because the promotion and relegation, that is a fundamental aspect of football. Without it, It's just an exclusive club for all these big, so-called big teams. So for me, it's just absolutely scandalous.
Yeah. Is that how like the MLS works? They don't have like promotion relegations, do they?
I think that's just because they don't have that many teams though. They've never had a history of a football league. You know, they've got the certain amount of teams. It's just a cash grab for them. A cash grab. It would suck so much money and attention out of the domestic leagues that it would kill them more than they already are. It's just same again, Liverpool and Manchester United with their American owners. I could bet a lot of money that the majority of fans of them clubs don't want anything to do with this, but obviously their owners just don't care.
I wonder if you have to pay £15 per game to do it.
Did you see what Burnley had to say on the pay-per-view thing? I thought what he said was brilliant.
Sorry, who's that?
Slaven Bilic, West Brom manager.
Ah, Bilic. Trying to think. Because I get mixed up because Mourinho said something about it as well, so I might get mixed up with them both.
Football should be not free, but affordable. And he says, I always used to say that football is not polo. Football is not golf. Football is sport for the masses. It's a working class sport and it should be affordable to everybody. And I think that's the point. Yeah. It has to be affordable.
Yeah. Yeah, 15 quid, it's too expensive, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. We've come full circle here, haven't we?
I know, yeah, it's like a roundabout, isn't it?
And the second exit was a political coup, and we've come back round to the first exit, which is the pay-per-view.
Should we talk about the West Brom game again, since we're doing roundabouts?
Well, I want to make a big shout out to Eric Peters, who has played in yet another position. And
I tweeted before the game that he's the 2020 Graham Branch.
Yeah, see, it's before my time, that. Before my time.
Is it really? Graham Branch?
Yeah.
You are young. You're a kid.
Three-ish words, isn't it? Branch?
Yeah, it was proper,
Six months old, but I can't say I remember it.
Hell, you are. It's just a baby.
I know, I'm making it so old.
It's really weird. Like, so I turned 27 in January, and to so many things, like, you know, when you watch like Premier League years on like Sky Sports,
yes, yeah,
and you sort of like you watch it, you just go, oh, I remember this game. This was sick. It would be like West Ham versus Spurs in 2005 or something. And it's sort of like, oh my God, that was 15 years ago. You're taking a mick.
Yeah, it feels
like.
It's like,
oh God. And honestly, then you go into this deep state of depression because for the last 15 years, you've done nothing but like, it's like, I haven't done this, I haven't got this, I haven't done this, I haven't got this. So like, my life's a shambles. What am I going to do?
I've seen people like turning 18 who were like born in 2003 and 2, and it's just,
yeah,
word. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like the
young as well, and they're just coming through and making the debut like 17, and I'm 20, and I couldn't even dream of it.
Yeah, it's like Luke Matheson, who plays for Wolves, who were at Rochdale for a bit.
Yes, that's Yeah,
he just bought his dad a Range Rover, and he's like 17. I'm like, is this some sort of sick joke?
I'd consider whether I could afford a chocolate bar today, never mind a Range Rover.
I couldn't even afford to buy my dad £15 pay-per-view football.
Meanwhile, his dad's got a Range Rover. You need to step up your game.
I think we definitely love pay-per-view football, don't we? I think that's something we could definitely take away from this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That we love pay-per-view football.
Yeah, well, on the topic of money, it's been quite a godsend for me. I've just finished, as of 12 o'clock last night, I'd finished 2 weeks self-isolation, which saved me.
Oh, were you isolating?
But it wasn't fun.
Yeah, I've not had to do that yet. I feel like it's inevitable for me. I've had a couple of close cases, not with me, but with
friend.
My flatmate had to have a test because he was in direct contact with someone who tested positive. Yeah. My girlfriend's stepdad had to have a test, and obviously I was in contact with them. That came back negative, so I feel like I've had two close shaves in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so it's sort of like we're at a state now where it's sort of like I feel like everybody in the country is going to have to at least isolate once.
Yeah,
during all this,
like community areas. I mean, there's nine of us in this house. The chances of one of us getting, well, obviously someone already has tested positive, so the chances of it happening, you know, were pretty low, or they were pretty high. And so it was that we just finished our 2 week self isolation.
What do you do for 2 weeks?
Honestly. You think, oh, it'd be perfect. I've got time to actually do lectures now and catch up. Well, that's not happened.
Yeah, I mean, I was waiting for my flatmate's like test to come back, and at the time, I was going through my head, going, "Oh my god!" Like, if I have to self isolate like, 2 weeks, I was like, "Well, it's all right. I can work from home. That's not a problem." And I was like, "What could I do like after work?" And it was sort of like, "I can't go out." It's the international break, so there's no good football on. I'm just going to go, like, oh my god! Like, I was really panicking.
Yeah,
if I have to isolate, I really hope that it's during like the domestic season, and I can watch football pretty much every night.
Yeah,
and then at least I've got some form of distraction.
That's the prerequisite for wanting to go into isolation. Yeah, where I don't want the positive test now. Give it to me when we've got a good couple of fixtures coming up.
When is the next international break? It's next month, isn't it?
Honestly,
like 3 weeks, like 4 weeks.
First half of the season, they come way too regularly. Like, you get to this point of the year, and there's only a couple within the space of the 2 months. I just can't stand.
I can't believe that international football, in terms of international friendlies, are still going ahead because players are coming back with bloody coronavirus.
Chris Wilder made this point.
Like, you got
see, he made this point.
Yeah,
it should be happening.
Yeah, it's sort of like Cristiano Ronaldo like got coronavirus, and it's sort of like the entire Wolves team were in contact with him.
Yeah, what did you say?
So it's like,
yeah, that was the funny one because it was like he got tested positive, say, on the Wednesday, and on the Tuesday night, that young French player had posted the picture of his Ronaldo shirt saying, "Never gonna wash this."
Yeah.
Well, you better wash it out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's proper mental that international football is going ahead with things like that because players are coming back with coronavirus.
And it's just, it's like, really, like they go to, fair play to the players, they're probably having to go to such lengths, you know, to make sure their bubble's pretty safe, to make sure they don't get COVID, like, I don't know, Bardsley's tested positive. There's no point taking extra risks like the international football.
Yeah.
It just seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because obviously, like, the Nations League, it's sort of like, at least it's like a competition. But when it's like stupid little friendlies, like, we got a friendly against Republic of Ireland, which has replaced the New Zealand game. It's like, it's just a friendly, like, do we have to play that?
Yeah, like that Wales game, that was a
friendly. Yeah, it's sort of like, if Nick Pope gets bloody coronavirus from being on international duty, I'm going to be fuming.
Well, to be fair, we've got to shout out Bailey Peacock Fowler, who played very well. He's meant to be.
Yeah, but he's going to get coronavirus playing for Northern Ireland.
You're right.
Yeah. We got is Will Norris. He's English, isn't he, Will Norris? I haven't got a clue. Yes. Yeah. But I hope he's at an international somewhere.
Yeah, he just plays for like Georgia. He's an international for Georgia.
Yeah, I know we've got like Luke Jensen on the bench. Yeah. And he's not related to Brian Jensen. I am fed up with people trying to make this like connection.
Brian Jensen. I remember I went bowling once with Brian Jensen, as strange as that sounds.
You have to explain this. Yeah, this is great. Go on.
I think it was just like, my mate's dad worked for like, you know, a company that sponsored, like, you know, you have companies that sponsor players. So as part of it was like, at the end of the season, Brian Jensen came bowling with us. So and then so obviously my mate was just like, do you want to come? So like, yeah, we're going to go temping bowling with Brian Jensen. He was pretty good, let me tell you.
Bloody hell. Yeah. I ain't got anything like that. I think I once saw, when I was like a kid, I went to a few Burnley away games and we used to like fly. And I don't know how this all worked, so I'd have to ask my dad. But we managed to get a flight to two away games. It was Norwich away and West Ham away. And we're on the same flight as the Burnley players.
Wow.
And I got, you might not know this player, but I got to sit next to Richard Chaplow.
Oh, I know.
It was well exciting.
Yeah, I know Chaplow.
Okay, you're not that young then. No, it was well exciting.
I never saw him play, but I do know him.
Yeah, I sort of like, I sat next to Dean West in the departure lounge. It was proper sick.
Well, that's getting towards sort of my first generation of watching. My first favourite player, Kyle Lafferty. So 2007. He was my first favourite player. I remember, do you remember that kit where it was the home kit with mostly claret, but like one blue sleeve? Well, I remember I made sure to get it in a long sleeve kit because that's what Kyle Lafferty wore.
Nice.
That's what the kids will be doing.
Yeah, I think that's... I'm trying to think of players of that era now.
Yes.
Like, players like Micah Hyde.
Alan Mahn, wasn't it?
Alan Mahn, yeah. He was good in.
He was.
He had a wonderful left foot.
Super sub. He always came off the bench and scored.
Yeah, he scored a worldie at QPR away, if I remember.
Yeah.
In the Coyle promotion season.
Yeah, I remember it well. It's one of them, you always go on...
You know what, this...
On Aki Clarets, and they always play the DVD of the like season review of that season, and it's always that goal that stands out. And obviously Wade Elliott's goal, shortly behind it, yeah.
I mean, still my favourite goal from that season is Patterson at Reading in the...
Yeah, that was it.
In the playoffs. I've got such a great... Like, I know this podcast, we're supposed to talk about the West Brom game, we're supposed to probably preview Spurs, but...
Oh, Spurs! Yeah, we'll do that in a couple of minutes.
It's sort of like... So I was in year 10, I think, and I had a mock... maths exam, and I ditched the exam to go to Reading away on that Tuesday night, and it was the best decision of my life.
That's incredible. I remember that I had a similar story. Do you remember the Chelsea in the Carling Cup year? Well, it was that season, wasn't it? Chelsea,
yeah, yeah, same year, yeah.
So I was, I think I must have been 8 years old. So I'd gone into my dad had put a letter into school saying. On this Tuesday, I'm having to take George out of school because we're going studying architecture in London. So then they called him into the office and he said, so is it right? You're taking him to London? And my dad went, yeah, we're studying the architecture. And then the head teacher went, are you sure about that? Because he's been telling everyone all week that he's going to Chelsea.
So, nice.
Luckily, I had a really nice head teacher. So, you know, on that Tuesday night, I was there. That was probably one of my favourite away games. I remember vividly Drogba throwing coins at the crowd.
Yeah, that was a big storyline coming out of that game, wasn't it? It's sort of like, obviously, we were all excited that we won the tie and we were all buzzing, but the reports coming out of the game were all about the coin throwing from Drogba and even at Burnley fans. I think Burnley fans probably started it because we're scum, but yeah.
Matt Moss, 58 minutes in, Robbie swears again.
I didn't swear, I just called us scum.
Yeah.
Because we are.
Did we? I think we've got a call from HQ here that we should be moving on to just a little preview of the Spurs game and what we think the score's going to be.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, we usually record for about 45 minutes, don't we? We're really pushing an hour. Well, when this idea was briefed.
We're not answered to a higher power now, Robbie, remember? Because we're the head chiefs now. Bromley's gone.
Yeah, that's very true. That is very true. And considering we have no briefing, I was really panicking going, how are we going to get to record for 40 minutes?
Oh, easily.
And to be fair, I've really enjoyed this last hour, George.
Yeah, I study politics. I can chat rubbish for a long time.
That's true. Don't get me started. I'm not talking politics. This is a Burnley podcast, a football podcast. We're not talking politics.
Yeah.
Because I'll just get upset and angry, especially considering I live in Greater Manchester as well. Oh, so
yeah, the less said on that, the better.
Yeah.
What do you think the Spurs? Right,
so, yeah, go on.
What do you think the Spurs game's
going on? Yeah, yes.
I'm bringing back some order to
Spurs. I think it's going to be a tough game. Spurs are a weird side, aren't they? Because they look... Obviously, they beat you in Man United 6-1. They were 3-0 up pretty quickly against West Ham, then threw that away. It depends what kind of Spurs shows up, I guess. But I think if we can stay solid, Nick Pope has a worldie. And we play with two banks of four and Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes are on it. I actually think we could probably nick a 1-0 win.
Is it at home or away?
No, it's at Turf.
Oh, right. I'm actually feeling a lot more positive now. Did you see Ben Mee was back in training? I mean, he won't be back for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
He's
back in training.
They'll probably
think, yeah, I saw it on Twitter.
Thanks for that. Welcome back. No, I'm.
Yeah, I don't.
At home as well, I'd be fairly confident we could nick a point there, yeah.
Yeah, it depends what kind of Spurs. Obviously, I've just mentioned that Spurs look pretty inconsistent.
Yeah.
And they pretty much have been since Mourinho's gone in. They look very good against United. They look really good first half against West Ham. Even against West Ham, they look good for 70 minutes. And then I don't know what happened in the last 15 minutes. They just seem to throw it away.
Yeah, you just got to hope. And especially if we were at their place, I wouldn't be as confident just because I went to the 5-0 game last year and it was one of the worst experiences of my life. If it was at their place, I'd be a lot less confident. But, you know, I think going off West Brom as well, we've got back to our sort of back to where we used to were. You know, we played a lot more like a Dash Burnley should. We were solid. You know, I wouldn't put it past us to get a draw. And, you know, build...
Yeah, especially with... Yeah, I think we were a lot more optimistic going into the game. Also, we got Ben Mee returning. Whether he's fit enough to start against Spurs, we'll probably find out later on in the week.
But it'll probably just give...
Obviously, got Matt Lawton's coming back.
Yeah.
Gunmanson looks like he's back fit again. Robbie Brady's coming back fit.
It feels... How long...
I think this is the first...
...and made it through a game without getting injured. Like,
I know,
That's the positive from West Brom, that him and Brady are looking back to full fitness.
Yeah.
I mean, Goodmanson, I think, I don't want to say underrate him, but just because he is often unfortunately injured. But when you look at his assist record for Burnley, I think he's got 16 assists in the Premier League. That's absolute.
Wow.
The amount of games he's played, you know, that's a really incredible record. And he's so crucial to us. If we can get even 3/4 of a season out of him, I think we'll be fine. I think we'll do really well.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I'll tell you what, Robbie, I'm pretty sure this is the first podcast that's come out since McNeil signed a new contract. We should mention that.
Oh my God, yeah.
I
think that's the best bit of business we've done.
What, over Dale Stevens? Surely not.
Oh God. Dale Stevens, I'm going to forget. We've even talked about Dale Stevens. Dale Stevens obviously is the best signing we're going to make in the next decade. But
he's the new Brian Stock. Yeah, Dale Stevens there.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot about Brian Stock.
I'm sure he's just a manager somewhere. He has just become a manager.
Yeah, I can't think which club it is. Yeah, but you are right. Yeah, he's a manager at a non-league club, isn't he now?
Yeah, but that McNeil news is absolutely superb. It shows that he does not mind being here. And he actually, the quotes that came out, he was like, I love it here. This is the club I always wanted to play at, et cetera, et cetera. Even if we just get another, not this season, but next season out of him as well, that'd just be above and beyond what I'd expect.
Yeah, Dwight McNeil got a few pelters for sort of going missing in games, is what people say a lot of. Like, he didn't particularly play well against Southampton. It didn't really work out against Newcastle. But I thought he was excellent on Monday.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant, wasn't he? I thought the same. He was all over the pitch. He was coming into the centre, trying to pick up the ball. Yeah, he was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good. So obviously him signing a new deal is another positive. Hopefully we'll get some more news on the takeover stuff, and if we can get a result against Spurs, it'd be a really positive week after what's been a pretty chaotic week.
Yeah, like previously. We're compared to the first podcast we ever did together, which was 2 weeks ago, I'd say this one's a lot more positive.
Definitely. And what I think we should wrap it up there because it's all positive and Natalie doesn't like negativity.
Yeah, we'll leave Bromley in. Look, listeners, she'll have this week and we can let her do the outro, but we're going to be putting a poll on Twitter, you know, should it stay like this format?
I agree. I totally agree. I think we should end it there. So I think I've really enjoyed this podcast, Joy. It's been like an hour and 5 minutes of pure banter. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been really fun to do. Must do it again.
Right, sick. Okay, I'll leave you to it then, George. Enjoy your evening. I hope that you enjoy your flatmates who have all come back from a bottomless brunch.
Well, thankfully, I'm leaving them and I'm going on my own social, so, you know, I don't have to deal with that.
Oh, excellent. Excellent stuff. Well, you enjoy yourself, George.
Yeah, thank you. You have a good night yourself.
No worries at all. Obviously speaking, thank you.
On another podcast.
I can't wait, mate.
Yeah. And listeners, we'll leave you to Natalie, who'll be doing the outro. And we'll speak to you next time.
See you later.
And there you have it. What a fantastic episode to listen to. I'm a little bit worried about the political clue that's going on here. I do feel like that they're now starting to push me away and that suddenly that George and Robbie are going to be taking over the podcast going forward. So listeners, fingers crossed, I will actually be with you next week to host this podcast. Otherwise, I think they might have taken my reins and pushed me out of the podcast. Who knows? But seriously, that was a fantastic listen. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was just nice to sit and listen to two friends chewing the fat over all things Claret and Blue. And I think some really interesting points came out of the debate. Let us know what you think. If you think that's a format you want to see more of, if you want to see other people having a debate together, drop us a line at the usual channels. It's tweet us at nonaynever or send us an email at podcast@nonaynever.net. Or if there's any other ideas that you want us to see us try, then drop us a line. We'll be happy to try and assist where we can. My thanks this week, as ever, go to producer Matt for editing this week's podcast and getting it out there on air, to band Joyce for providing our music for the podcast as well. Clearly, the main thanks this week go to George and Robbie for basically taking the reins and producing the whole podcast this week. So, guys, I really enjoyed that. I'm really, really pleased with the results. Thank you very much for giving up your time. Final thanks, though, as ever, go to you, the listener, for downloading and listening to this podcast. Your support is very much appreciated. And we just would not be here without you. We will be back, well, Dave and I will be back on Friday with this week's edition of the preview show, where we will be looking ahead to a home tie against Spurs, which I'm not sure we're all looking forward to, but you never know. They might put in a very Spursy performance, or we might get ourselves a point or three there. And then, of course, the rest of the team will be back on Tuesday, where we will be looking at that game against Spurs and seeing if we've managed to get any more points on the board and we're off the foot of the table. Let us know if you've got any problems. I hope you're all staying safe. I hope you're all abiding by the rules. I hope you're all wearing a mask. But do stay safe and take care of yourselves. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the Known and Never podcast. Until next time.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.